Bible has standards. It has banners that we're supposed to hold up, and dress standards and music standards and all those things in our life. But we live in a Christianity today. We live in a world today that they just do not care what God says. They don't care. Amen. If we want personal revival, we need to care about what God says and care about Him. He said, if my people is unconcerned, and I can go through the children of Israel here and look at all the things that they dealt with here and unconcerned, but also not only unconcerned, but undedicated. Amen. Undedicated, undisciplined. These are the people here that God's dealing with, and I think we got the same problems today. Amen. Unconcerned, undedicated, undisciplined. He said, if my people, the first thing we have to realize if we're going to have personal revival is that we need to get concerned about some things as God's people. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my mother, not my sister, not all the other people, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, man, I'm not as bad as he is. Well, thank the Lord he's not the standard. He's the standard. And when I look at him, I'm not good enough. Amen. We got to be concerned for ourselves and what God cares about in His Word, and get our will lined up with His. Not only, number one, do we see the people, but number two, look at the pride. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. You want personal revival this morning? Number one, we need to see that it's us that needs revival and see our condition that we're in. And number two, we need to realize the pride that's there. He said, shall humble themselves. We live in a selfish, selfish, selfish time. We love ourselves, amen? You say, I don't believe that. Well, just get on social media. People love themselves. I mean, they will take a picture at every angle possible. And they will sit there and talk about how I was telling my wife this morning that I got on our church's Facebook thing, and I posted a verse about how excited it was to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. And I thank God that I'm here. I love coming to church. I do. And I posted that verse of their Psalms that said where David said that he was thankful that he was able to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. And I posted that on there. And I saw something pop up on there. And there was another preacher that I know. He's a young guy. And he wished himself a happy birthday on Facebook. But man, these people love themselves. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, and he hasn't got enough birthday wishes yet that he's got to wish himself a happy birthday on social media. Amen? And we want revival. We want God to move in our preaching. We want God to bless the church, and we want God to help our family. But first, let me take care of what I want. But first, let me do what I want to do. Amen. We got camp meeting coming up, and I know there's some people already, they've already determined in their mind that they're not going to make it. They can't make it. They've already decided. You say, who? I don't know, but I know there is. There's already people that are planning and saying they cannot be there. Amen. And I know there's some that got to work during the day and all. I'm not talking about all that for legitimate reasons, but I'm saying there's already people that made up in their mind, well, I'm not going to be able to make it. I've just already determined it. Selfishness. I'm telling you, this world is eat up with selfishness. And the devil and the media push it. They push it and push it and push it. You need to love yourself and you need to do this. And hey, don't care about what other people think. You just need to be happy with yourself. A Burger King religion. Burger King's motto is have it your way. Amen. You don't want pickles? Don't do pickles. You want extra pickles? Do extra pickles. You don't want... Just have it your way. And people want to take that Christianity and go, hey, I want to serve God and go to church that way. I want to do it my way. Amen. I want to do it my way. I want to dress however I want, and I want to listen to what I just want to do it my way. I've got my box, and I'm going to live in this thing, and if God wants to get in it, that's fine. And I'll ease my conscience by going to church Sunday morning. Amen. I'm talking about personal revival. I want revival. I want God. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, are you saved this morning? Called by the name of the Lord, shall humble themselves. There's a selfish pride. Not only that, but there's a sinful pride. These are things that we've got to deal with. You say, Brother Andrew, this is an easy message. I know. This is like the fifth time I'm getting it for me. Amen. Y'all ever heard that thing where you start talking about when you point at somebody, there's four fingers pointing back at you? Well, that's what preachers get every time they do a message. They get it more than once. Y'all get it one time. Selfish pride. Not only that, but sinful pride. The Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And if we're going to have revival, if we're going to have personal revival, these are things we got to deal with. We got to deal with that self and sinful. You say, what's that? That is something you know you're doing wrong, but you will not get rid of it. You know it's wrong. You know God's not pleased with it. You know it's sin. You know it's not right, but you will not get rid of it because of pride. Amen? The children of Israel had a lot of pride. Amen? They still got a lot of pride. The church, people today, they are full of pride. They do not want to admit that they're wrong. They do not want to admit that their way is not working. That we need to do it God's way. These are things that we've got to deal with. Not only selfish pride, but sinful pride. But what about spiritual pride? You say, what's that? I'm doing pretty good. I've got my Bible. Amen. I'm in church this morning. I think I'm doing pretty good. I've helped people today. You know, those things. And lifting ourselves up and magnifying ourselves. And man, I went on soul winning yesterday. I'm going to give myself a hug. I can't give myself a hug. Say, man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not quite like this guy over here. You know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm talking about spiritual pride. The Bible says here, my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. He's not talking about just sin. He's not talking about just selfishness, but spiritually speaking. There's a bunch of pious people in church this morning all over this country that think that there's somebody because they're in church this morning and because they got a Bible under their hand and because they're sitting there and they think they're doing God a favor by being at church. And they wonder, why is God not blessing my family? Why is my marriage feel like it's from the pits of hell? Amen. Why is my family an absolute disaster? And why is all this going on? I'm a good person. We're missing the whole point. You say, what's the whole point? This is not about you. It's about a risen Savior. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about magnifying, lifting Him up. And if we're going to have personal revival, these are things in our heart, in our life, that we've got to deal with so that God can do something in our heart. This is the introduction to camp meeting. Amen. You say, man, you keep talking about this thing. We're not just doing another meeting just to have a meeting. We want God to do something. Can you imagine if we went to camp meeting, Brother Bowen, right with God? Imagine what He could do with our hearts. Imagine what He could do with our home and with our life and our church and how God could work if we went into it right with Him and dealing with these things. God could show you other things. Selfish pride, sinful pride, spiritual pride. What about separating pride? The Bible says in James 4:6, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know, I would hate for God to separate Himself from me because of my pride. I said, man, I don't want nothing to do with Him. He's got it handled. I don't have it handled. Amen. Humble does not mean weak, by the way. We need some men to be men, but the need to humble ourselves before God. Not only do we see the people and the pride, but look at the prayer. We see a problem with these first two points. The people. Amen. We are the problem. It's not God. And we can blame the world, and we can blame social media, and we can blame the devil and all these things. All we want. We can blame the government. But when it boils down to it, it comes right back home. Amen. The people, the pride. Look at the prayer. He said, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." So what do we have to do, Brother Andrew? We need someone to get a hold of God. We need to get a hold of God. I don't care if you're the youngest person sitting in here this morning, probably one of these two young ladies right here, or you're the oldest person sitting in here. I'm not going to call any names. Amen. I don't care who you are. We got to get a hold of God. And there never comes a point where you need to stop getting a hold of God. You know what Paul said? He said, "I die daily." Every day he had to die to himself and die to sin and die to his flesh. The prayer. You know what we need? We need daily praying. Every single day. There ought not ever be a day go by that we don't talk to God. You know what you ought to get in the habit of doing? Is praying before your feet even hit the ground in the morning. Before you even get out of bed, talk to God. Thank you for another day. Amen. Get in the habit of praying. Not only daily praying, but detained praying. Detained praying. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." Detained means withheld, kept back, prevented from going, or coming up, restrained. We need to stay with it and say, "I'm not going anywhere until God answers this prayer." We need revival. There's a man by the name of Gypsy Smith. Y'all probably heard of him. He once was asked how to start a revival. He answered, said, "Go home, lock yourself in your room, kneel down in the middle of the floor, draw a chalk mark all the way around yourself, and ask God to start a revival inside the chalk mark. When he has answered your prayer, the revival will be on." Amen? Detained. Hey, there's things we give up way too easily. "God, I need you to help my marriage. I need you to help my boy. I need you to help my girl. I need you to help my home. Lord, I want you to help me." And as soon as the least bit of friction comes, we stop. Oh, we pray for it once. I want to ask you this, and I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want nobody raising their hand. This is between you and God. But at the first of the month, we had days that we were going to fast and pray every day. And I wonder how many people did it every day they were supposed to do it. And when I talk about fast and praying, you give up something. Most of the time it's food. And you give up eating and you replace that with prayer. Amen. Some people might have done it the first week and then quit. Maybe somebody did it the whole time. I hope you did. But as child of God, sometimes it's hard for us to keep doing something. And if we're going to have personal revival, we've got to stay on our knees. We got to keep praying about those things. Detained praying. What about dedicated praying? Determined praying. Getting real with God. Has there ever been a time in your life where you spent more than 5 minutes praying? What about an hour? "Well, I don't got time for that." Well, I'm telling you what, the condition that we're in, we don't have time not to do it. If you've got children, grandchildren, if you know anybody that you care about, we have to pray. Amen? We need prayer. Not only do we see the people and the pride, the prayer, but look at the purging. Look what God said that He would do for these people. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." There's got to be a purging. You say, what does that mean? Not only do we realize that we're a problem, we realize the pride that's involved. We got to get rid of that pride. We got to pray to God, and we got to get rid of some things. Turn from their wicked ways. You know what it is to turn from something? You give it up, and you turn, and you go the other way. And there's things in our life, and there's things that we got going on in our head, in our home, and in our habits, that if we want God to do something in our life, they've got to go. You say, "Well, I can't pray because of this." Well, maybe that thing's got to go. Do you know what terrifies me and scares me half to death? Is when somebody uses their children as an excuse not to come to church. You say, "What do you mean by that, Brother Andrew?" Well, what if God just took away your reason not to come to church? What about that job? Amen. And I understand people have to work, so I get it. Amen. But I'm talking about people that are going after that filthy lucre, and they want more and more, and they use that as a reason not to come to church. Well, what if God just took your reason away? They say, well, I can't come to church because of my kids. And I was telling somebody the other day, and they said, well, we're trying to get there. We're trying to do this. And they said, something always comes up. And I said, as long as you're trying to serve God, something will always come up. The devil will make sure something always comes up. Always. Brother Johnny, it never fails. Get ready to leave for church and so-and-so shows up. It always happens. The devil knows when to send so-and-so by your house. How do I break the chain? Tell so-and-so, get in the car, we're going to church, or I'll be here when you get home. Amen? If we're going to have personal revival, there's some things we got to change. Instead of going to bed to that television, why don't you go to bed reading your Bible? Instead of going to bed fighting and fussing, why don't you go to bed praying? Change some habits. We all have habits. We get up in the morning, we go through the motions of brushing our teeth and combing our hair and getting ready for work and getting our coffee, and it's almost robotic. Some people that do the same thing every day and they get ready to go. Is God a part of your habits? Amen. The Bible says here that if we want to hear from heaven and God wants to heal our land, which we're about to get to, there's got to be some purging in our life. Say, hey, this thing might not be sinful, but it's taking me away from God. Amen? Talking about personal revival this morning. I need personal revival. I need God to do something. Amen? The purging. Not only the people, the pride in the purging, but last of all, praise the Lord for this. Look at the promise. Look at the promise. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. You know what this is saying? That revival's coming. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know what God promises here? He promises spiritual restoration. You know what David prayed in Psalms 51:12? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So, man, I haven't been as close to God as I need to be. You know what you might need to do this morning? You might need to get around the old-fashioned altar or there in your seat or wherever and say, Lord, would you give me back the joy of my salvation? Man, do you remember the day you got saved? You remember that day? Some of you might have been 5 years ago. Some might have been a year ago. Some might have been 50 years ago. I don't know. But you remember that day that you got saved. Do you still have that joy? Man, remember when you first got saved? You wanted to tell everybody about God. You told everybody about the Lord. You couldn't wait to be at church. You were there every time the doors were open. But then the years go by and circumstances happen and things happen in our life, and next thing we know, it's a burden to have to go to church. Amen. So what do we need? We need personal revival, a spiritual restoration, a spiritual rededication. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. Giving yourself to God. Lord, here am I. I want to serve you. Lord, I want to please you. A spiritual renewal. Let's all stand. Psalms 139, verse number 23. Miss Sarah's coming to the piano. She's in here. Psalms 139, verse 23 through 24. You know what David said here? He said, search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know what David said? God, I want revival, but Lord, would you search my heart and see if there be any wicked way? If we're going to purge ourselves of the wicked ways, we need God to tell us what's in our life that's not right. We see the people. There's an admittance of the problem. The pride that we have to overcome. The prayer, begging God for forgiveness. The purging, giving up what's hindering God from moving in our life. And the promise that God's going to help us in giving ourselves back to Him. All these things must take place in our life if we're to have personal revival. Personal revival. You've heard the message this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God spoke to your heart, would you do business with Him this morning? You want revival in your home? You want it in your family, with your children? We need to get with God. We need to get real with God. We don't need to play church. We don't need to play Christianity. This thing has to be real. There might be someone here this morning, as I'm preaching, you probably didn't know exactly what I was talking about this morning, having a relationship with God. There's someone here this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We'd love to take the Bible this morning and show you how to be saved. What I was dealing with this morning was strictly the relationship of a Christian with Christ and having God be real in their Christianity and their life. But there might be somebody here this morning that there's never been a time in your life where you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned that come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned against the Almighty God. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, somebody has to pay for that sin. The verse doesn't stop there. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and to take our place. He died, was buried, and rose again. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, we would love to take the Bible this morning and show you how to be saved. Say, I don't know what you're talking about, the blessings of God and the provisions of God and all these things. Brother Andrew, I'm not sure what you're talking about this morning. Oh, I could take you the Bible and introduce you to the Creator of the heaven and earth. Say, well, you don't know what I've done or where I've been. That doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus Christ can save you. I thank God that it says for whosoever. It doesn't give a stipulation. It says for whosoever. There's still some doing business here at the altar this morning. Remain with your head bowed and eyes closed. My people which are called by My name. Oh God, would You send revival? Would You send it? She's playing the song, Revive Us Again. Revive us again. Amen. All right, you can look up here. I appreciate you being here this morning. And church, so the messages I preach is never intended to be hateful, but try to be helpful. Amen. Be helpful. And we need God. And you say, well, you preached some of these things before. Well, you know what? Every single person in here has holes. And we leak.